Rashad Singletary, who is the senior pastor, is asking the community to visit the church to honor the victims and extend their heartfelt support to their families, beginning at 7 p.m. The church is located at 651 Mount Olive Road, near the north side of the bridge. And Maryland Attorney General Anthony Brown has joined a coalition of 16 attorneys general in supporting the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's parole pathways for vulnerable immigrants. The filing of an amicus brief follows President Trump's executive ordering directing DHS to end humanitarian parole programs. Attorney General Brown and coalition members are urging the court to grant a preliminary injunction to halt the Trump administration actions. Stein on sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Now, for years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. And now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. Now, during the winter weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling are here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather has changed, and now is the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Call them today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404 or online timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Sweetness in Seattle.
Maryland needs one bucket to keep its season alive. Gillespie from the out of bounds to the freshman queen who's driving, floats it. Hey! Sweet 16!
Lisa Byington had the call on TBS, and just like that, Maryland advances to the Sweet 16 and then the post-game interview. Andy Katz asking head coach Kevin Willer what happened in the huddle.
I asked everybody, I said, who wants the ball? And he said, give me the MF ball. And I said, all right, you're getting it. And I said, don't mess around, go after it and do it. And I give him a lot of credit, man. The big dog came up and threw me.
And then he asks the big guy,
where does that confidence come from?
I mean, so I think I'm from Baltimore, that's why. And then I kind of had it going all game. Me and my teammates had it going. And like I said, like they trusted me to take that last shot.
From Clifton Park to College Park to the national stage, Derek Queen and that moment will be etched in Baltimore and Maryland basketball history. Terps will now go out west again to take on Florida in the Sweet 16. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Orioles roster situation comes into focus. And that is Stein on Sports.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
At 9:07, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
We'll see those showers come to an end as we move throughout the latter part of the morning, and we will head up to around 64 degrees. Now for tonight, partly cloudy. Overnight low falls back to 43. Tuesday, mostly sunny, going up to 61. And we'll see maybe stray showers on Wednesday. I'm Jeff Eno from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 44 degrees in Westminster, 52 in Easton, and 47 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday. Yes, it's Monday. Please get out there, set some goals. You can be productive this week. It all starts today. It's like you got a fresh start. Use it wisely. Use it wisely. I know that you are being wise because you are listening here at WCBM, and I appreciate you every weekday, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, listening to Kim Klasick Live. And, of course, you do have options, and the fact that you're here, I appreciate you. Real quick, if you haven't already, please just go to the App Store and type in WCBM. You can download the app for free right there in the App Store. And then that way you can text into the studio live. You can also weigh in on the question of the day. We have the poll up already this morning. And then, of course, if you want to look at any of the news stories, we've got those headlines rolling for you there as well. So it's a one-stop shop. All you have to do is go to WCBM.com or just click into your app and you are good to go for the entire day. All right, so we're going to get right into this. Of course, Governor Westmore, I tell you what, he does a lot of national news interviews. He rarely does anything locally. Have you noticed that? I know we talked about this before. But he definitely goes to the national news. And I think he does that because, of course, those at the national level, they don't know the ins and outs of what's going on in the state of Maryland, right? I mean, even when it comes to Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, everyone knows that Maryland is pretty much a blue state. And we are going to be doing the same things that you'll see in California or in certain areas, you know, maybe Massachusetts, you know, whatever the blue states are doing, right? Whether it's called, you know, trans or the budgets, just, you know, a total hot mess. I mean, whatever they're doing, we're pretty much doing. And so a lot of times they don't go down into the details, but I will go ahead and I will give Shannon Bream her flowers because I believe she did, honestly, a pretty darn good job with this interview. Now, it's fairly long. It's 9 minutes and such total, and so I don't have the entire clip for you here, but if you do go on Fox News' website, you can get it there. In the teaser there that I did on social media, I said there were a lot of nuggets in this interview, and I was not kidding about that. That's why I said Shannon Bream did an excellent job with this interview. She did an excellent job, and I almost thought, because, you know, she's in the D.C. studio, she most likely lives in Maryland, because she seemed to know a lot about what is going on here. So I was really appreciative of her. Also around 10:25 or so, our friend Glenn Gilhar, he's going to quickly call in. There is a plan of action. Lots of bills are coming forth this week in Annapolis. And so there's, you know, certain timelines in which you can sign up to testify or send over an email, you know, saying whether you support or oppose a bill. And so he'll call in around 10:25 and just give us the rundown on which bills that he's referring to. A lot of it has to do with immigration, by the way. So please, if you could, listen around 10:25, because I know there's some of you that do want to take more action, and I really do appreciate that. I receive your emails. Some of you do want to go to Annapolis, and you do want to testify, and you do want to get involved. And honestly, when it comes to the Republican Party in Maryland, we all have to get involved, okay? We all have to get involved because we don't have all the numbers on our side. Also, the big question of the day is actually going to be our big debate that we're going to have at 11 o'clock this morning. And that is, should the U.S. ban pharma ads, like the big pharma ads? I know we had this question previously, but we didn't really get to debate it out. And I bring this back up because it's now a debate on X. And this is what I saw as the big debate this morning. And as I mentioned during the morning drive, it was clear that there were conservatives that are for banning the big pharma ads. And then you saw the libertarians that are like, no, we're not going to ban the big pharma ads. And I'm just going to tell you where I stand on this because I think there were a lot of great rebuttals to why we should ban the ads. And I say rebuttal because I want to think that we don't have to ban pharma ads. We don't have to ban adult videos. We don't have to ban certain fatty foods because I want to think, and this might be the libertarian to me, that we have strayed so far from personal responsibility and self-discipline where people are now calling for all these bans. And I just don't remember a time when the Republican Party was for all of these bans. I remember a time when we were about freedom, you know, and so, and so, yes, you know, are these adult videos, are they bad? Absolutely. Have there been cases that led to human trafficking? Absolutely. You got to stay on top of these things, you know, but at the same time, is that why you should ban adult content? You know, and I use that because I know there's some people still taking their kids to school today. So let's not, it's a family friendly show. Let's not say any kind of words that, you know, we shouldn't be saying in front of kids. But at the same time, I don't know if we should ban these items. I do like the fact that they put, now it's like this, you have to be 18 years old to look at certain content. I don't know. Does that really keep people out? I don't know. I mean, are you clicking yes or no? I mean, if you, if you're 18. I guess if you're a kid, you could just click, yes, I'm 18, right? You could do that. There's no way to check up on it. But I guess, you know, in my view, it is the parents' responsibility to make sure their kid isn't looking at adult content in that way, right? I don't know. But that's the big debate that we're going to have at 11 o'clock. And so right now, if you want to go ahead and head over to WCBM.com, that is the big question of the day as far as the big pharma ads. And this is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. And it's a very simple question. Should we ban big pharma ads from TV? Yes or no? A lot of you are already on top of it. And a lot of you don't agree with me. We've had this debate before. And I know we have. A lot of you didn't agree with me then. 68% of you say yes. 32% of you no. And a lot of people did call in and know that, yes, remember, we banned cigarette ads. And there are a lot less people smoking cigarettes today. You can't deny that. And is that because of the banning of the ads? Possibly. But I want you guys to weigh in on that. Again, that's at 11 o'clock today. Let's go ahead and jump into Governor Wes Moore on Fox News Sunday. And I got a note here from Marty in the text line. Marty, I see you. He says, don't forget the 695 deaths, 12 total, 6 on 695 on the west side and 6 on the Key Bridge, which is also on 695. Saturday was the two-year anniversary for the deadly crash on I-695 that killed 6 of my fellow road workers. Keep their families in your prayers. Marty goes on to talk about how Malachi Brown, the driver of the vehicle that collided with Lisa Lee, was doing 122 miles per hour at the time of the impact. And Malachi, he was sentenced to 60 years with all but 18 months suspended. He was transferred on home detention after only serving 3 months of the 18-month sentence. And Lisa Lee, whose car was traveling 121 miles per hour, she was thrown airborne into the construction zone, killing the 6 workers, has seen her November 2024 trial delayed until April of this year, which has once again been delayed until November of this year. Between this accident and the Key Bridge, 12 road workers died in little over a year. Please pray for the families and be patient. In work zones, our lives depend on it. Marty, thank you so much for sending that over. And you were absolutely correct. And yes, we send our prayers to all of those that are missing their loved ones. And I believe, Marty, you could correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there was a father-son out there on 695 that was killed. And so that family lost 2 individuals that day. So yes, Marty, thank you so much for reminding me that this is the 2-year anniversary. Thank you. Again, Governor Wes Moore on Fox News Sunday. I did take a note here. I said, this man is pretty much delusional. Now, of course, as Sean Casey and many people have mentioned, Governor Wes Moore, he's going to say, you know, everything that he possibly can to not put the blame on the state of Maryland. But it is in my view that he could say this till he's blue in the face. But any attorney, any decent attorney would say, you know, the hell with Governor Wes Moore and what he has to say. We've got the NTSB report. And so in my belief, you know, for me to hear Wes Moore say, okay, we're going to put all of this responsibility on just a cargo ship, obviously for insurance reasons, I get that. But at the same time, I don't know how this helps. And I just went through and I noted, you know, through this interview that Shannon Bream did with Governor Wes Moore on Fox News Sunday, there were so many lies that I had to literally go. I had to stop the clip. Like I said, this is a 9-minute interview. I had to stop the clip multiple times, and go to Google. And I was like, wait a minute. I remember something totally different. And I did. I went to Google and I stopped the clip. I went to Google. I was like, wait, he said something differently when he ran for office. This happened at least 6 times, by the way. Okay? And I'm now wondering who this governor truly is. Because the way I look at this now, I think this guy's a pathological liar. I really do. Like, look, I've seen politicians lie. That's the thing. I see politicians lie time and time again. That's what they do. But I think these lies that he's told time and time again, this goes beyond just the average politician. Take a listen to what Governor Wes Moore had to say in regards to the NTSB report.
I want to ask you about another thing that's particular to Maryland, but has broader implications too, which we're just about a year out from the Key Bridge incident in which a container vessel hit the Key Bridge. It collapsed. 6 people were killed. This week, the NTSB said that there had been numerous warnings that the safety assessment on the bridge that they called for had not been done. Here's a bit of the NTSB chair.
Had they ran the calculation on the Francis Scott Key Bridge, the MDTA would have been aware that the bridge was almost 30 times greater than the risk threshold AASHTO sets for critical essential bridges. 30 times greater.
She says if the assessment had been done, that collapse could have been prevented. And she says it still hasn't been done on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, another big bridge through Maryland.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're right. Wednesday is going to mark the year anniversary of one of the most tragic moments in our state's history. Where we lost six Marylanders, where 13% of our economy was immediately shut down. And it was the sole fault of the Dolly and the sole fault of the reckless operators.
You don't think the assessment about the bridge's capability to handle that traffic and something like that factored in?
Well, no, I think if you look at the Key Bridge has passed every single federal assessment for literally over 30 years. And so the Federal Highway Administration and the federal government had claimed and continue to state that the Key Bridge was not the issue. The issue, and I was speaking with the former Transportation Secretary about it, the issue was that we had a ship the size of three football fields. That when you have a ship at that size, moving at that speed, what he told me was there wasn't a bridge in the country that could have taken that impact. And so when you look at the reckless behavior of the Dolly, that's the sole reason for it. But I also know that protecting our bridges is the highest of priorities. We've put over $170 million in the past 10 years alone into protecting things like the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Since the Key Bridge happened, I actually authorized an additional $160 million going into protection of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. And so that is a bridge that has passed every single federal guideline for over 30 years, in addition to the Key Bridge. But when you watch the reckless behavior from what we saw the Dolly and how that ship, that size, that speed, slammed into the Key Bridge, that's what caused this damage, and that's what caused this tragedy in our state.
Okay, so this assessment that NTSB says needed to happen hasn't happened on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge either. Will that happen?
Yeah, well, we've been completely cooperating with the NTSB, and we'll continue to cooperate. And what they did mention, though, is that it wasn't just that. They were actually putting out a siren call to Congress saying there are over 60 bridges, mm-hmm. 60 around the country, that have this same type of challenge. So we will continue cooperating with the NTSB, but I think it wasn't just a statement to us. I think that statement was really to the rest of the country.
So Governor Moore believes that statement from NTSB, the report, the findings of the Francis Scott Key Bridge impact, that wasn't really for us. That message was for everybody else. We're going to get into this when we get back. Right now, we've got our friend Tim Herb on the line with RBC Wealth Management with today's Morning Market Flash. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Monday, Kim. How are you?
Happy Monday. Doing well. You got good news, bad news, news.
Well, I tell you, the average is the way it's been the last couple of weeks. It hasn't been the best of news, right? Although we had some shining moments there last week, which was a positive, of course. Stocks are coming off a much-needed winning streak, which saw the S&P 500 end last Friday. Actually, Kim, as we talked about in the morning, last Friday morning, we ended Friday in the green. We avoided four straight weekly losses, which is awesome. So after last week's small gain, the S&P 500 is still sitting about 7.8% off of its record high. The NASDAQ composite also snapped a four-week losing streak. So last week with a small gain, it still does sit about 12% off its record high. So a bunch of news here this morning coming out, but Dow futures are up more than 400 points on reports that President Trump will hold back some tariffs. Right now, the Dow futures are up about 1%, Kim, up 426 points. S&P 500 futures up over 1.2%, up 69 points. And the heavily technology-based NASDAQ futures up over 1.5%, 315-point gain thus far early here in the market. And again, markets are jumping across the board on reports that President Donald Trump is planning on holding back these tariffs, initially planned for April 2nd, coming up here in just a few short weeks. And that's raising hopes that maybe the U.S. won't plunge the globe into an all-out trade war. We're seeing a bunch of stocks reacting to this news. Shares of Tesla, which have fallen nine straight weeks, are up about 3.6% pre-market. Meta, of course, the parent company to Facebook adding nearly 3%. But investors are still a little jittery, though, based on this upcoming start date. They're also looking, we talked about this buzzword, reciprocation or reciprocal tariffs as they approach also, Kim. So a lot of news flowing. Last but not least, for the construction workers and builders out there, James Hardie offering $8.8 billion for U.S. building products maker AZEK. So that's something interesting in the building markets as well. So there we have it. We'll wait and see how things play out. Great buzzer beater yesterday by the freshman sensation, Derek Queen, for the University of Maryland, by the way, Kim. Yeah. That's got things looking good this morning as well. I'll talk to you on Wednesday morning.
Sounds like a lot of good news. Thanks, Tim.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100 when silence is not golden.
The Sean Hannity Show.
CEO of Zillow has just said that if illegal immigrants have to go back home, that will ease the housing shortage in the country and lower prices and make it more affordable. Donald Trump can get the economy in a better spot and interest rates go down. That's going to make a home more affordable. This is what we've sadly taken as a new normal. It doesn't have to be this way.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, good morning to you. And as Tim Herb did mention there, everybody's talking about Derek Queen this morning, and rightfully so. You guys know I do not pay that close of attention to Maryland sports or sports in general, so I am not going to pretend that I know a whole lot. But I do know that Derek Queen had a game-winning shot, and I do know that he plays for the Terps, and I do know that he said, I'm from Baltimore, and that's how he got it done. And I do know that now you've got Maryland Terps and now the Sweet 16 in March Madness. I know all of those things, okay? Hopefully... Hopefully that satisfies a lot of the Terp fans out there, which I know there are a lot of them. So congratulations to you. I guess I could ask Brian. Brian, when's the last time the Terps have been to March Madness? Haven't been this far in quite some time. Okay, well, good. Congratulations to the Terps and congratulations to Derek Queen. He got the job done. And I did hear Gary Stein with sports. Of course, he had the update and he had some of the sound bites. And it sounds like Derek knew that he could get it done. So he said, give me the MF ball. And he got it done. That's confidence right there. I mean, you can't teach that. You can't. That, like, you either you have it or you don't have it. So congratulations again to the Terps. Also, we were talking about Governor Wes Moore. We were talking about his Fox News Sunday interview. I noted here that he is so delusional. Look, I understand that as the governor, he's going to try his best to say that it wasn't just the state. Obviously, it wasn't just the state's fault. A cargo ship hitting the side of a bridge. I mean, that is a problem. You know what I mean? It is a problem. And so I do believe that Dolly does share some blame. But you can't deny the fact that you've got this report now, Governor, saying that the Maryland Transportation Authority, I mean, you know, the state is somewhat liable. And so I don't know how you manage this in damage control. I don't know. But this is why we were talking last week about this. And I know some people were questioning what I was saying as far as Governor Moore no longer being able to run for the Oval Office. I'm sorry. The fallout from this bridge madness, he's not going to be able to do it. Not only the budget is being a hot mess, right? He's going to tax and fee us to death. But even think about all of those that are now suing the state of Maryland for those sexual assault allegations. A lot of those that happened at the juvenile detention centers. I mean, we heard from Senator Justin Reedy before that if all of those go through, because, you know, you've got all these lawsuits now, that could bankrupt the state. So now you put on top of that, and Marty, I noticed you said in the text line,
With the NTSB report, that could also bankrupt the state because of the lawsuits that have already been filed by the families of the workers that were killed. You know, even the workers that were killed, I would think, on 695, I would think that they have a case with the state as well. I'm not sure. I'm not an attorney. But when you're looking at the fact that we're already in a $3.8 billion deficit, I don't know, or I can't even see an avenue, a pathway for Governor Moore to fix this by the time he comes up for re-election. I think that we are staring down the barrel of a gun. I don't think there's no going back at this point. He doesn't want to knock Kerwin off the table, right, or blueprint, whatever they want to call it today. He still wants to do all his climate change initiatives. It costs about $1 billion. There's no way that he could fix this. And so that's why I say the guy is done for. The guy is done for. Could he possibly win re-election in the state of Maryland? Do we have that many people in Maryland that are just, you know, vote blue no matter who? I don't know. Possibly. But he ain't going to the Oval Office with this. No way. People are going to look at all of this. So I understand that's why he now is going to Fox News over CNN and MSNBC. He's trying to, you know, cover all his bases. But I'm sorry, Governor. It's way too late for that. And I understand they're still got, you know, there's still time for them to decide on this budget, but there is nothing that shows me that they're going to kick the teachers union to the curb. And because of that, there's no going back. All right, coming up next, we'll continue with the tariffs conversation of that Fox News Sunday interview that Governor Westmore had. Also, did you know that there was an 11-year-old repeat offender that was arrested for shooting a gas station attendant with a BB gun? And then arrested again after that. Yeah, apparently they just slap him on the wrist and send him home. Who are these kids' parents? 11-year-old repeat violent offender? We'll discuss more coming up next.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz says there can be no half measures on Iran's nuclear program. He says when it comes to Tehran's program, there's only one acceptable outcome for the U.S., that's a complete dismantlement of the nuke program. U.S. and Russian negotiators back at the table. They're holding talks in Saudi Arabia on a partial ceasefire in Ukraine. These talks come just hours after a round of negotiations between the U.S. and Ukrainian officials. A plane load of nearly 200 Venezuelan nationals deported from the U.S. has landed in Caracas. Crews in South and North Carolina and in New Jersey as well are battling raging wildfires. Mandatory evacuations in North Carolina's Polk County, that part of the state still recovering from Hurricane Helene. More details at srnnews.com.
Attention hunters, outdoor enthusiasts, and sportsmen. The Sassafras River Ducks Unlimited and Galena Volunteer Fire Company present the third annual Sportsmen's Bash. Saturday, April 12th at 90 East Cross Street, Galena, Maryland. Doors open at 11:30 a.m. with 28 prizes on the main ticket, 50-50 cash prizes, assorted gun raffle tables, and more. Enjoy raw oysters, pit beef, mac and cheese, plus cold draft beer and a cash bar. Tickets to attend are just $65. Raffle-only tickets, just $35. Both types of tickets also get you a one-year membership to Ducks Unlimited. You don't have to be present to win. Get your tickets now. www.ducks.org/Maryland #events. That's www.ducks.org/Maryland #events. See you there. Now, Gary Stein on sports.
O's headed north yesterday, and they'll be in D.C. today to take on the Nats at 105. Roster coming into focus. Felix Bautista will be on it. Cade Povich will be on it. He'll start the home opener. But the news is not so good for Gunnar Henderson.
We're running out of games here, and the season's, like you said, a week away, so that's going to be difficult.
And in fact, they have run out of games. Gunnar will begin the season on the IL. Jackson Holliday will more than likely slide over to short. GM Mike Elias saying he hopes it's days, not weeks, for Gunnar. Maryland freshman Derek Queen making Baltimore proud last night, demanding the ball with the Terps down by one. 3.6 seconds left to play. Kevin Willer takes us into the huddle.
I asked everybody, I said, who wants the ball? And he said, give me the MF ball. And I said, all right, you're getting it. And I said, don't mess around, go after it and do it. And I give him a lot of credit, man. The big dog came up and threw.
And then the result.
Maryland needs one bucket to keep its season alive. Gillespie from the out of bounds to the freshman Queen, who's driving, floats it. Oh! Maryland on the right side of a buzzer beater with life into the Sweet 16.
Call courtesy of TBS, Queen, sending Maryland to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2016. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Caps are on a roll. And that is Stein on Sports.
Hi, Rod Barrowy here. God bless America. God bless Donald Trump. God bless all the listeners here at WCBM. Well, looky here. Gas prices are down. Egg prices are down. And oops, the stock market's down too. How would you like to never worry about market volatility in your retirement? You want some growth when the market's up, but no loss when the market's down. Call the Safe Retirement Solutions team at 410-266-1120. That's 410-266-1120.
Those showers will be coming to an end. And as we move through the latter part of the morning, we will get up into the mid-60s today. And those southwest winds may get up to around 20 miles per hour or a little higher. And then tonight, partly cloudy. Overnight low falls back to 43. Tuesday, mostly sunny, headed up to 61 for that afternoon high. Could see some scattered showers late Tuesday night. Wednesday, maybe stray showers into the early part of the afternoon. Partly sunny, high 54. I'm Jeff Eno from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hi, I'm Kyle, founder of Blindster.com. I started Blindster in 2010 to make quality, custom-made blinds affordable to everyone. Traditional window covering retailers are expensive. Our prices are low, and our blinds are guaranteed to fit. Blindster.com.
Hi, I'm attorney Michael Friedman.
And I'm attorney Stephen Friedman. And along with my wife, Rachel, we strive to continue our firm's 40-year reputation for excellence.
You know, Steve, when I started practicing law, things in the world were plenty different. No, FDR was not president, but folks were getting injured in auto accidents and by other negligent acts. And our work, our commitment to clients from the very start has never wavered.
You're so right, Dad. Handling property damage, getting car rentals, assuring the best medical treatment, and really just getting their lives back remains our primary focus.
And that also means obtaining fair and just compensation for their pain and suffering, as well as for any permanent medical issues.
And although we prefer to settle cases, we often rely on judge and juries to obtain fair and just compensation.
So if you or a loved one has been injured by another's negligence, give us a call at the law offices of Michael Friedman, 410-363-6848, for a free consultation.
And don't forget, Dad, there's no fee for us and no cost to our clients unless we win.
Well, then please continue winning.
Absolutely, not to worry.
The law offices of Michael Friedman, serving the Mid-Atlantic region for over 40 years.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine. And also, we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. CBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday. Oh, man. Oh, man. I did see we're supposed to get up to 64 degrees today in the Baltimore region. I am going to pray that it happens. I don't know. I don't have a ton of faith that I will still feel like it's a little warmer than before, but it's okay. It's all right. Before the break, we're talking about Governor Wes Moore. He had the big interview on Fox News Sunday, and as I mentioned, it was 9 minutes plus. And I thought Shannon Bream did a great job at asking him some pointed questions. And it made me think that she actually lives in the state of Maryland, because she obviously asked a lot more questions than we see on MSNBC or even NBC, and I will say even Face the Nation. And I always just attribute it to the fact that a lot of those individuals don't live in Maryland and don't, you know, see the day-to-day like we all do. Well, we were talking about, obviously, the NTSB report. He was saying that, no, you know, it has nothing to do with the state of Maryland, the fact that we didn't check out our bridges at all. This is solely on the dolly, according to Governor Wes Moore. And I just want to think, okay, he's saying that because he doesn't want to be held liable here. And I think any governor would most likely say something similar. But at the end of the day, you've got the NTSB report, and they're saying that Maryland as a state was negligent. And to even point out the fact that you still haven't done the proper protocol when checking the safeguards at the Bay Bridge, even after the Francis Scott Key Bridge fell, that's on you, Governor.
that is solely on you. You haven't done anything when it comes to the Bay Bridge after seeing what we just saw and having people lose their lives, right? Those families will be impacted forever. I mean, you would think that at least you would check out the Bay Bridge. And I noted, when Shannon Bream noted that to Governor Moore, he kind of pivoted and he said, well, you know, this is really a message to all of the other states that have bridges. And it really isn't the message to us. And then he says, yes, we are cooperating with the NTSB. But that wasn't the question, right? So he gave this answer that really didn't make any sense there, but he's very good at doing so. And I was saying before the break that this guy might actually be a pathological liar. And I would not say this about a politician, because many politicians lie. That's like what they do. But this is now to an extent where I'm like, there are just too many red flags here. Yvonne in the text line says, Kim, everyone should have known from the beginning that Wes Moore is a pathological liar. Before he was voted in, he was called out for lying about his book. And Yvonne, you're correct on that, because that was the other Wes Moore, right? And we found out from the other Wes Moore's family that a lot that he detailed on that book was just not true. Then Yvonne says, yeah, then he lied about his military status. That is correct. You're correct on that. Yvonne says, people are just really stupid. And unfortunately, the smart ones are being punished. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It really does. Now, I'm going to go further on this, because how many times have we heard Governor Moore say, I'm new to politics. I'm not really in this. Well, he says it a lot. And he said it so much that I decided to do a deep dive over the weekend. Yes, I did the work here. Because I kept thinking, okay, he was a White House fellow for Condoleezza Rice. We knew this already. And I knew this because of Armstrong Williams and his relationship with Armstrong. And, you know, when it came to I guess he was in a couple different groups, you know, organizations in college. He was with the college Republican group. And I know this because shared with me was actually a page from Wes Moore's yearbook. And on his yearbook page, he had on there college Republicans. Like, he was very proud to be a college Republican. Well, here's some more for you. All right. So believe it or not, at one point in time, Governor Wes Moore actually interned for Kurt Schmoke. Now, some people would say, all right, that's not a big deal. Maybe he was interested in politics. And I can see that. He interned for Kurt Schmoke. But even beyond that, he also did an internship at the Department of Homeland Security. Did you know that? Did you know Wes Moore did an internship at DHS? Well, he did. All right? He did. And again, this was all while he was at Valley Forge Military Academy and college. And remember, he did end up going to the Army. And as Yvonne pointed out, he did lie about the Bronze Star. He did end up last year, he was able to award himself the Bronze Star, you know, which was 16 years later. But it doesn't stop there. Believe it or not, he also gave a speech at the 2008 Democratic National Convention. Do you remember that? See, I did not remember that. But Wes Moore was on that stage. So this would have been right after he wrote that book, The Other Wes Moore. But yeah, at the DNC, he gave a speech in 2008. And it looks like he was a guest of Barack Obama. I could be wrong on that, but he did speak that day. He was also with the protesters during the Freddie Gray riots in 2015. And apparently he was slated to speak at the funeral, but had to leave town because he had to give a speech in Boston. They were talking about poverty within Black communities, because remember, he was at the Robin Hood Foundation. And so he actually left the protesters that day, went to Boston to give the speech. And he made a comment later and said that he was so sad that he wasn't able to be there to speak in that moment. But he thought that the speech in Boston was much more important because it was tackling poverty. So he was doing that in 2015. Right before that, though, apparently he was considered to run alongside Douglas Gansler during his 2014 gubernatorial race. Did you know that? Well, yes, Doug Gansler ended up choosing Jolene Ivey. But apparently, according to Doug Gansler, you will see that it's on Doug's Wikipedia page as well, because he talked about it in an article. But he said that he was considering Governor Wes Moore, ended up going with Jolene Ivey, I think, for the woman piece of this. Because, of course, we were already playing identity politics. But Governor Wes Moore was really on his very short list there of people to choose from. That was 2014. Then in 2017, I don't know if you know this, but Governor Larry Hogan actually nominated Governor Moore to serve on the University System of Maryland as a board member. Did you know that? In 2017, it was Governor Larry Hogan that nominated Governor Wes Moore. And so when I thought back to all the comments that Larry Hogan made about Dan Cox, you know, calling him a QAnon whack job and all this other stuff, and there are a lot of people that will say because Larry Hogan did absolutely nothing to help Dan Cox or any other Republicans running in 2022, a lot of people will say that they believe that he really, truly just helped Governor Wes Moore, you know, win the seat. And I mean, I didn't realize he actually nominated him to this board in 2017. So there was obviously a previous relationship. Again, we're just going through Wes Moore and this whole idea of him saying, you know, this notion that he's new to politics. That is not true at all. Not true at all. Going further than that, in 2020, did you know that Governor Wes Moore was on Mayor Brandon Scott's transition team? I didn't know that. Yes, in 2020, Governor Wes Moore was on Mayor Brandon Scott's transition team when he first won the mayoral race. Did you know that? I didn't know that. But he's new to politics, right? This guy has nothing to do with politics. I also wrote down here, he was a consultant in 2021. This is January 2021 for Speaker Adrienne Jones. And he was consulting her in Annapolis on how to tackle the issue with young black men. This guy saying that he has not been in politics, if you go back through his career, I mean, he's been in politics really since he's been in, it looks like right after high school, right in college. Because that was in 2006 when he was named the White House Fellow for Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. I mean, for somebody that says they've never been in politics, this is an extensive list of political affiliations. I mean, are you kidding me? Now, I you know, I take that for what you will, but this is what I'm talking about, where there's just so, you know, there's no consistency in the stories here from Governor Moore. And so what, you know, Shannon Bream, I don't have the clip for you, but you can also check it out. You know, Fox News Sunday is the interview. But she asked Governor Moore about juvenile crime, and he ended up telling the story that as an 11-year-old, he found himself in handcuffs for petty crime. And when you're looking at how he's been dealing with DJS and Vincent Schiraldi, the secretary, and you're looking at the fact that these kids are just being sent back home after they commit these crimes, now it kind of makes, you know, a little more sense, right? He's thinking these kids are like him that really want to be on the right track, but they just don't have the guidance to be there. Is that what he's thinking? Because this, now it's making sense. I think Governor Moore actually agrees wholeheartedly with what DJ Secretary Vincent Schiraldi is doing. He is that 11-year-old kid. This is troubling. This is very troubling. Before we get into the tariffs here, I do want to go to the phone lines. Got some people wanting to weigh in. You can also weigh in anytime you like. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. As I said, it's an extensive list going all the way back to 2006. So Governor Moore has been in politics for close to 20 years. Brian in Towson, you want to weigh in?
Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
You hit the nail on the head, and I call that the good old flip-flop. He's going to do just like everybody else in politics does, lie and get away with what they do. I'm not saying he's a liar, but the things that are being brought up and where you are, you're bringing up the good questions. These people know how to get through all these different things and just kick the can down the road. And I've called you before about the Bay Bridge. It's going to be the next on the list, and here it is. Now we have to do a study on the Bay Bridge to
right.
see. Now, we know what's coming.
Right.
Those big Chinese ships, right? They want those ships coming up here into our port. They're going to take and redredge everything. Why did they bring all the utilities out of the ground, out of the water, right? But what I want to get back to real quick, I don't mean to get off on a tangent. This whole thing with politics, I see Wes Moore as a carbon copy of Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
And what they do with this political world, they get entwined with all the right people who they need to be connected to. Because if we didn't learn from Barack Obama, right?
Yeah.
Barack Obama did the same thing. He got connected with the right people, and went on down the road being a so-called this and that. But in the end, we saw where that was.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on the air.
No, Brian, thank you as always. Thank you. I hope you have a great week. Yeah, no, Brian is correct on that. And I know Brian doesn't want to call him a liar, but I'm at the point where I'm willing to say that. I am. You know, to say that you're not in politics, but to clearly have a career in politics in some fashion for 20 years, at least 19 years, and all of that's only what's been documented here. You are for sure in politics and have been for a very long time. And this doesn't even note, remember I told you I found the clip on YouTube of him speaking at some of the events for Open Society and George Soros. That's how we kind of found out that he was even connected with the Soros team. So he's been in politics, and I agree with Brian and Towson there that he is the carbon copy of Gavin Newsom. I agree with that because, remember, when somebody pointed that out, right, that it was, you know, similar to Gavin Newsom and it's the Californication of Maryland, he got very upset about that comment. And that's when he sat down with the town hall, the one-on-one interview he had with Armstrong Williams. He was upset about it. But it's absolutely true. But I think he was upset because he doesn't want to look like a 2.0. He wants to be Gavin Newsom himself. He doesn't want to look like Gavin Newsom Jr. That's the part that upset him. I got Scott in Kingsville. Scott, you wanted to weigh in?
Yes, ma'am. For Governor Moore to infer that the Maryland Transportation Authority has no responsibility, that's an insult to anybody with intelligence. When you drive down the road, there's signs that there's a curve in the road. There's shoulders alongside the road. There's traffic lights. There's stop signs. There's yield signs. All kinds of things take into account that, you know, there has to be some safety issues always so far as the commuting public. Now, in bridge construction, if I'm building a bridge over a major shipping channel, I'm going to have dolphins around the piers, or what's called cofferdams you could put around the piers, or there's other mechanisms you could put around the piers to deflect things of happening. So, you know, whether it be barges getting loose or ships coming, there's ways. So anybody with intelligence says, we have a major shipping channel here, and these piers, if a barge gets loose or whatever, or a major ship, this pier's coming down. It's common sense. So you put protection mechanisms, and for him to say that the Maryland Transportation has no liability here, that is ridiculous. So why do they do? Why do they put up stop signs, yield signs, traffic lights? Why do they do everything else for guardrails, for safety in case somebody does something wrong driving or an incident happens? So even in engineering, you play the role of thinking, well, in case this, in case that, and things of that nature. So him denying that Maryland has any responsibility shows, excuse the terminology, he's a real scoundrel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, Scott. And I know people are saying this because they think that lawsuits will open up. I think it's already there. I don't think there's anything that he could say, whether he lies or not. There's nothing he could say to make it so that we are not held liable as a state.
Exactly. And yes, the ship did wrong, but when a drunken driver goes down a road or whatever, when you do anything in planning for safety, which Maryland Department of Transportation is supposed to take into consideration, you're supposed to take into consideration, well, this could happen, and especially a major shipping channel. I mean, good golly, Miss Molly, there's a lot of ways to protect those piers, and the Maryland Transportation slept at the wheel. You know, it's that simple.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Scott, thank you so much for calling in and explaining that. I appreciate you sharing. Hope you have a great week. Real quick, Marty in the text line said, don't forget his wife, Dawn, worked for Attorney General Anthony Brown, also in politics. Yes, and I will note here, if you guys didn't know, he met Dawn when he was an intern at DHS in 2002. So again, he's been in politics pretty much his entire adult life. We'll continue when we get back.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Now, for years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. And now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. Now, during the winter weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric, Heating, and Cooling are here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather has changed, and now is the time to call Tim Kyle Electric, Heating, and Cooling. Call them today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404 or online timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric, Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and have you tried the over-the-counter products for your foot pain and nothing seems to work? If that's you, it's time to check out the Good Feet Store. Stop the pain that's stopping you. Visit goodfeet.com to book your appointment today, or just stop by the store nearest you.
Need new blinds? At Blindster.com, they offer guaranteed low prices, guaranteed satisfaction, free samples, and free shipping. At Blindster, they take the fear out of ordering custom blinds, shades, and shutters, so you can do it yourself and save big. Blindster.com.
The Rob Carson Show.
This is the left. They are at war with us. They are swatting conservative hosts. Joe Pags has been swatted, so they want to have somebody in the conservative blogosphere murdered, and then they're also burning down the country. This time, instead of doing it all in the summer of 2020 like they did, they're going to try and do this for 4 years.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This portion of the Kim Klasick Show is brought to you by the law offices of Michael A. Friedman, representing injury.
All right, we're talking about Governor Wes Moore and his Fox News Sunday interview with Shannon Bream. And I thought that there was a lot there. It just outlined how Governor Moore has been in politics for the last 19 years, which is pretty much his entire adult life. I will most likely cut that clip and I will post it on social media where I was given the rundown here. But from the internships to the White House fellowship to be considered, I didn't know this, as Douglas Gansler's running mate in 2014, Larry Hogan nominating him and appointing him to board since 2017. The whole thing is just crazy when you really do this deep dive. I've got Tom at Owings Mills. Tom, you wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, quite a checkered career. I wonder if Wes Moore has modeled himself after everybody's favorite president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, in the same way that Biden modeled himself after FDR, even to the point of when he slaughtered those 166 million chickens. That was an echo when FDR had farmers all over the country burn down healthy crops and dairy farmers pour perfectly good milk into irrigation ditches. He was sort of like the death president. But LBJ was awarded a Silver Star that he did not deserve. It was something a GI did during the Vietnam War, and he just happened to be president. And not only had it awarded to himself once, but every time he went before a veterans group, he would have one of his aides put the Silver Star on the lapel of his suit, as the same Silver Star as if he was getting it for the first time, over and over again. He had the same Silver Star that he didn't deserve awarded to himself. So I wonder if Wes Moore read Robert Caro's biography of LBJ and decides he would carbon copy that one.
Maybe so. Maybe maybe it's not Gavin Newsom or Obama like we thought. Maybe you're correcting your assessment.
Bigger ambitions.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
right,
Tom,
now he couldn't get elected dog catcher, so I don't know how he's going to be a president.
No, for sure, for sure. Tom, thank you so much. I hope you have a great week taking us down memory lane there. Who knows? I don't know who Governor Wes Moore looks up to, because as we noted with his past here, he's been on both sides of the aisle. And it almost looks to me, and I'm just going to, you know, put my opinion out here, because, of course, like I said, he was a college Republican. Then he went to speak at the Democratic National Convention in 2008. He was trying to figure out exactly what his best niche would be, right? It's almost as if he has no true principles at all, because, I mean, you can't go from a Republican and a White House fellow for Condoleezza Rice to this, you know, progressive that you now see allowing all these criminally charged illegal aliens all over the state, or even those juveniles being arrested and then sent right back home is supporting somebody like Vincent Schiraldi. So it's, and, you know, and also speaking at the Open Society conferences. So he's been on both sides to the extreme in the past 19 years. How does one do that? Unless you really, truly don't have any principles. If you're somebody that just follows the money or follows whatever path puts you in a career position that you've always dreamed of, then I could see somebody making these moves. All very suspicious. All right, we get back. We are going to talk about the tariff portion of that Fox News Sunday interview. And then also, like I said, we've got Glenn Gilhar running for delegate in District 8. He's going to join us around 10:25 because there are some bills in Annapolis in case you want to testify. Today is the day to sign up to do so. So we want to make sure you do not miss that deadline. All that and more coming up next.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it,